Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, second hour of the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, and to be golden. Chris and Jeff with you for another couple of hours tonight, and then we'll go home and I'll probably watch the Sweet 16. Why not? Loyola, Nevada, Kansas State, and Kentucky, Florida State, Gonzaga, Michigan, Texas A&M. Might be some decent games in that bunch. Odds are I might have action on some of them.
Oh, you got to.
That's usually a pretty good.
What's your lock of the night?
I think Gonzaga is my favorite. I like them laying 6 points against Florida State. Basketball school against a football school, Jeff. That's my that's me oversimplifying the breakdown there.
Here's the thing in hoops, and I'm sure a lot of people saw the video of Kansas being favored by 7 over Seton Hall. Kansas hits a couple of free throws.
No, it was 4.5.
4.5.
Yeah.
Then the 3 to cut it to 4. When you need them to shoot, they dribble out the clock. When you need them to dribble out the clock, they make.
And when you don't need them to foul, they foul. Because that happened in this tournament, too. I got to remember quickly who it was. Which game? There was somebody who was I think it might have been Murray State in West Virginia. I guess it's not important. Here's what's important. There was a double-digit underdog. Mm-hmm. I believe that it was the line was 14.5. They trailed by 13 and fouled.
Don't do that.
And lost by 15.
You know, and it also, I mean, even taking the spread out of it, like Saturday in the women's tournament, Belmont played a really good game against Duke. I mean, they hung in there. It was tied in the first half. They were with about 8, and it was clear Duke was going to win. They kept – like they were down 12 and fouled. They were down 10. They fouled with under 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So Duke wound up beating them by 14, and it was really more like a 7 or an 8-point game. But just that fouling made the score look a lot worse. And listen, I get it. It's your only chance to win, but – when you're down by double digits with under 10 seconds to go, stop.
Yeah, because there's no 13-point shot.
There's no
or
such
14-point
thing.
Shot. But, yeah, that was one – I can't remember what game it was, but there was a 14.5-point underdog that lost by 15 because they fouled with, like, seconds left in the game down 13.
Well, I told you not to foul. Yeah, but, Coach, I had the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I mean, that always crosses your mind.
Especially if you're on the wrong end of it.
Yeah. Our 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. As we, while we're on the subject of college basketball, let's start there. But let's start with Georgia and Tom Crean, Jeff.
All right.
And the expectations now for this basketball program moving forward. As we've talked about in the last couple of days, as a Georgia basketball fan, we've just finished a season where we saw Tennessee and Auburn win the SEC championship, share it.
Mm-hmm.
And currently Clemson is in the Sweet 16. So for Tom Crean, you know, what should be the expectation be for next season for Georgia, and how long should we reasonably be expected to wait for this program to get back to the NCAA tournament before we start just becoming antsy with him?
I think Georgia should make the tournament next season.
All right, next year.
Yes.
Yonte Mayton's gone.
Yonte Mayton is one of the all-time great players in school history, and we should have been in the tournament 4 straight years with him, but we were not.
Are we going to get Ashton Hagans?
I don't know. I think Jonas Hayes will give Georgia a very good chance to get him, and I'm assuming he is going to be retained. But I'm going to tell you, Chris, a front line of Ogbeide, Claxton, and Hammonds, that's going to be one of the best front lines in the conference.
Crump in the backcourt.
Crump in the backcourt. Then the key is, you know, between Turtle, Tyshawn Hightower came on. He played well against Missouri, but Georgia's got to get settled at the point. And, you know, maybe next year, if you've only got eight or nine guys, maybe that's a positive. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, how good the newcomers are going to be. I don't know about Hagans and the reclassification and all that. But I think even with just what Georgia's got coming back, this should be a tournament team. Because we should have been a tournament team this past year.
And like you said, the last couple of years, too.
I mean, I really think the team that really what was most disappointing, we lost a couple of heartbreakers, you know, probably a win away from getting in, but it was 2 years ago, so Mayton's sophomore year, when you had Frazier, Gaines, and Mann. I mean, like, that team's like, you got to make the tournament. Like, that team's just got to make it.
Yeah.
And we didn't, but no. And, Chris, I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 6 years of the NCAA tournament. That's not outlandish for our program.
What was the the rate basically under Durham?
Let's see. We started in 80, we went in 83, 85, 87, 91, or 90, 91, and we got jobbed in 88. That was a year we won 20 games and lost to Kentucky in the championship game by 3 points.
And didn't make it.
Right.
Yeah, that's
gosh, like,
what was that about?
Oh, I know. I mean, that was one of those I remember. Just watching the selection show the next day, and I'm like, wait, it's over. Where was our name?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty regular basis.
Yeah.
I mean, I would take that. And then, you know, win occasionally, because that's the thing. I mean, Georgia
– and the league was better top to bottom then, because you only had 10 teams in there.
I mean, we haven't won an NCAA tournament game since beating Murray State in
2002. Yeah.
So – that 2003 team probably would have won some, but we decided not to go play in the tournament that year.
Yep, that wasn't good.
But, I mean, there have only been 3 appearances since then. And one of those was because we fluked into the SEC tournament title.
That was an unbelievable run.
It was a heck of a weekend.
I mean, we were a 14 seed.
But that
Think
was
about
a fluke.
That.
Yeah, an SEC school.
Winning the tournament is a 14 seed.
Yeah.
Xavier was the 3.
This year, to refresh your memory, the 14 seeds were Wright State, Montana, Stephen F. Austin, and Bucknell. I'm buck naked.
I'm a pornographic movie star.
Yeah.
Buck naked.
Yeah. So you're saying Georgia should be in there next year. So
yes.
There you go, Coach Crean.
Yes.
The heat is on.
I think he believes that, too. I mean,
why wouldn't he? Yeah.
I did like it as introductory presser when he was talking about Nick Claxton. And
I liked him.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because he had this, like, little fire about him. He would mix it up.
He does. He's got the height, but he's not built like his dad. He's slender, and he's the future pro for sure. But I think part of the reason too that Crean took the job, number one, he's getting paid a lot of money. Georgia's a great opportunity here. Obviously, you look at so many sports where Georgia's had incredible success through the years. But I mean, I think when any coach takes a job, you have to look at the current roster. And, I mean, he had to look at it and say, I can get these guys to the tournament. And I think one thing that Georgia fans will like, because, again, Georgia didn't quite make it the last 3 years. We had good teams, but we just weren't quite good enough. I think you will see more of an up-tempo game from this Georgia team.
Well, you please. I mean, if the results are even similar, though,
try something different.
Yeah. It'll just – because it's tough to watch when every game it's like, oh, it's 61-60 again.
Well, and that's a feeling, too, with a ceiling. Obviously, you know, with Kirby, he was a great gamble. It was as close to a sure bet as possible for somebody who hadn't been a head coach. But we had gotten to the point, too, where – and even a lot of my friends who were like me, who are diehard Georgia fans, it was like, we need to make – and this was before we had decided on Kirby – but we need to try something else just because we've peaked. Even if the next guy, if the success after 3 or 4 years isn't as good, we got to make a move because you know we're stuck. And sometimes you got to go into the unknown. Now, Georgia went out and hired a guy with an unbelievable pedigree, which we've been through 1,000 times. And I think the basketball program had just gotten to that point, too, that, like, look, we could do worse for sure. But we've got to make a move. We got to try something different here.
Yeah, because I think we, even though we could do worse, I think we also realized that we weren't going any place else that we hadn't already been in the last 9 years.
Chris, we just got a tweet in from Michael from Charleston.
All right.
Write all your questions to SECCon. I'm dead serious. I will ask Saban and Mullen anything y'all want, dressed in a squirrel suit with shades on.
All right. Well, we got a couple months to do that.
We'll get you a credential.
Yeah.
I hope. Although maybe not.
I don't
now.
Think you need a credential.
Really?
Isn't it like it's like the NFL now. Like that Super Bowl media day, isn't it? Pretty much anyone's allowed to show up to it.
Like, didn't we have to get credentialed to be there?
I don't.
So it's just turned into an all-out circus.
I think so.
Michael, you're hired.
Yeah.
We have no power to hire anyone. Dan Mullen, Coach. Listen, do you plan on getting naked with any sea creatures like your predecessor?
I'm fine with him standing up and asking a legitimate question. But if he did it dressed like
a
squirrel, and I don't know how you would get a point that he's a blind squirrel. Would you put like a bandana?
Just the sunglasses and a cane. Yeah.
Okay. But just if he was dressed like a squirrel, a blind squirrel, you could ask him a legitimate question. Is Emory Jones going to be your starting quarterback? But see if anyone got it. You know, like, why is this guy dressed like a blind squirrel?
And then I think, you'd probably have to do this the day before, because the blind squirrel thing, you'd probably get kicked out. But literally go in there, I would say dress nice like a reporter, but... You know,
yeah,
just dressed in regular clothes and literally asked like the Jimbo Fisher. You said you're a boot guy. What's your shoe size?
Right. What brand do you like? Do you like Spurs on the back of them?
What's your favorite cowboy movie? Is it Urban Cowboy?
Yeah. What's your favorite brass instrument? Because they were all there waiting on them.
Have you ever been to Gillies?
Yeah. Fire that. How about with Saban?
Have you ever ridden a mechanical bull?
Has your intern Butch Jones ever forgotten to put cream or sugar in your coffee?
Does Butch Jones get your laundry?
Yeah.
Do you take him? Is he allowed to drive your cars to get the oil changed?
Right. So here we're doing it right now. All dressed as a blind squirrel. Although that's more for Mullen than anybody. I guess Michael could do it, because I don't think – like I think it'd be funny if Kirby showed up as a blind squirrel.
That would be hilarious.
You know, usually the coaches have to dress up for that thing.
Yeah, he'll be in a nice suit.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. That would just be so great. I'm a boot guy. Have you ever ridden a mechanical bull? Yeah,
really? You're a boot guy? What size do you wear? What type of leather, too? Is it snake or is it just a cow? What type of animal has to die for your boots?
Do you like Wranglers or Levi's with
yeah.
your boots?
Have you met Matthew McConaughey yet? Oh, he likes that other school.
Are you guys going to play Texas? Or do you plan on playing, who is that horrible in-state team they played? Did they play Prairie View?
Lamar? Is there it Lamar in Texas? I think they've another
Do you
played
plan
Lamar.
On playing Texas again, or does Lamar fulfill your in-state scheduling needs?
Yeah. When does Baylor play Our Lady of the Lords?
It's 19.
Or whoever that
Incarnate
is.
Incarnate Word.
Yeah, Incarnate Word.
That was a good one we found, because the men's hoops team had a win in November over a team. I think it was a team from Texas. I did the game. It was actually a really good game.
Texas Corpus Christi.
There you go. They had beaten a school I'd never heard of. I believe it was called Our Lady of the Lakes.
That was right.
I'd never heard of that school.
It was Corpus Christi defeated Our Lady of the Lake. They also, but they lost twice to Utah Rio Grande Valley. But they,
so they were good against lakes, but not against rivers.
Or valleys.
There you go.
Yeah. They had a 1-point win over Our Lady of the Lake and then lost 5 in a row, including here to us by 3.
It's a good game.
Yep. I remembered that game in March, as was predicted. And what I was reminded of was that wasn't a good sign for the rest of the season, only beating them by 3 points. Well, March, that'll just look like a win. It will. But I'll also remember it as to the reason why Georgia's not in the tournament.
There was one of those games that I love doing those games on TV, by the way, and because I get to do them with Jarvis, which is awesome. So I just love Jarvis. I love the Hayes family. And I think it might have been the Spartanburg game. But we were, losing by 5 and missed 2 free throws. and Yonte got an offensive board and made this strong move, made a great pass to either Claxton or Obeyde for a dunk to cut it to three. But I'm convinced, like, if we don't get that offensive board there, in fact, we might have been down seven and that cut it to five.
It was the biggest day. It was 58-53 with 6:40 left.
And was that the
Spartanburg? That was upstate.
Upstate. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm convinced if Mayton doesn't make that play, that we might lose that game.
Their only win at that point was over Allen.
Allen University.
Then they went on to beat Payne a couple games later. They won seven games this year.
So they were good against both first names and last names, Allen and Payne.
Yeah, and four of their seven wins were against, like, D2 schools because Allen's Payne,
D2, yes.
Coastal Georgia, and North Greenville.
They played I didn't even know Coastal had a team now.
Yeah.
Because they're good, really good in golf.
Yeah, they got a team now. But they lost to USC Upstate.
Wow.
All right, moving on to the 5-5 with tonight's Sweet 16. Of the 16 teams that are remaining, which of them would you consider should be now the favorite to win the national championship if you were doing it all over again?
Villanova.
Villanova, number one.
So I think they've got a – it's not an easy path by any stretch, but it's not overly treacherous. If Kentucky were the one seed, you would say they got the best bet, but they're a five. I mean, they could lose to Kansas State. It's going to be like a home game for them tonight.
I wouldn't even call them a lock against Loyola or Nevada if they won tonight and moved on to the Elite Eight.
Now, the crowd is going to help them. It'll probably help them more. The refs will probably help them more tonight because for the crowd, they need Kentucky in that game Saturday. I mean, if it's Kansas State against Loyola or Nevada.
Oh, then Phillips Arena will look like a Hawks game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. Those Kentucky fans, it's like they might just leave their tickets on windshields underneath the wipers.
Yeah. But it's not like a bunch of people from Chicago or Reno are going to suddenly decide
flock
to hop on
in
a plane to come to the Elite Eight.
No. I mean, that'd be one like, you know, they're going to need to get like local middle schools.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to go to an NCAA tournament Elite Eight
Heck
game?
Yeah, I do.
No doubt.
Yeah, but that arena is going to suffer if Kentucky doesn't win tonight.
So that might mean they it's one of those things, 53.8 tonight for Kentucky.
My hunch is that Duke is going to win it all, but I get they'd have to beat Kansas and Omaha, and they've got to play Syracuse too. And I mean, Duke's like an 11.5-point favorite, but I mean, come on, it is still Syracuse.
It is. And yeah, so their path would potentially be Syracuse, Kansas, Villanova. I mean, that's clearly the strong side of the bracket.
Yeah.
Though. I mean,
as opposed to you've got, you know, again, K-State, Kentucky, Loyola, Nevada, Florida State, Gonzaga, Michigan, or A&M. One of those teams is playing for the national championship.
Yes. What if Gonzaga got back again and won it?
They were my pick in my bracket.
Be a good sign for the Dogs this fall.
I think that what Clemson did. Lost to Bama 1 year, beat them the next is a good sign for the Dogs this fall.
Carolina did it in hoops.
Yeah.
Lost to Villanova, beat the Zags.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the best bet to win it? Would you say Duke?
I think Duke, but I mean, I did pick Gonzaga pre-tournament, so
okay.
I don't have any reason to back away from them. But, you know, as we've gotten through the first two rounds and now that Duke is just lurking, I could see this being one of those tournaments where, you know, another one where you kind of feel like maybe they, you know, they stole one.
Yeah.
Like that year they got to
Oh, and that was in 11,
Butler.
I think.
Yeah.
Or 10, 2010. Now, let me ask you this. Of the 16 teams left, difference between least chance to win and least chance to make the Final Four? Because I think for Loyola or Nevada, it's not outlandish they could make the Final Four. I mean, it's a toss-up game tonight, and you could play Kansas State or a Kentucky team that's not great. But as far as winning the whole thing, I would say one of them would have to have the least chance. We're talking about winning the national championship.
To get to the national championship game against, in all likelihood, either Villanova, Kansas, or Duke.
Right. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah.
But God, that side of the bracket might be the weakest it's ever been going into a Sweet 16. But it's like you said, you could have Kentucky and Michigan wind up in the Final Four, Kentucky and Gonzaga,
yeah,
and it looks blue blood.
Right, or against, on the other side, Villanova and then Kansas or Duke, and then it looks like, oh, well, this tournament pretty much made sense.
Yeah.
And you'd forget that this is the tournament where a 16 seed hammered a 1. They didn't beat them on a last-second shot. They looked like the 1 seed, and Virginia looked like the 16.
Beat them by 20. So Maryland, which was going to do better for its program by leaving the ACC to go to the Big Ten, not in the tournament, but Maryland-Baltimore County beat Maryland's biggest rival, Virginia.
Yes. Now, Maryland beat Maryland-Baltimore County during the regular season, but which school had the better year?
Yes. Process of transference. Terps fans can say, hey, we beat the Wahoos.
Yeah, since they don't get to play each other anymore.
Crazy.
Jeff, let's pretend it's July now.
Okay, hang on, let me take this sweatshirt off.
Also, you'll be getting married.
That's true.
Yes, but it's July, and we're at SEC Con.
Okay.
And we're about to make out our preseason all-SEC team. I want you to tell me who for Georgia will you be writing down first team preseason all-SEC? Whose names? Chubb and Michelle are gone. Roquan's gone.
All right.
Cameron Nizalak is gone because he'd be the punter.
Yes. Andrew Thomas.
Wow, really?
Is one of the best five linemen.
All right. So you're just – because that Alex Leatherwood was pretty good.
Yeah, they're both soft.
And he already played.
Joel Williams is back too.
Yeah. Because, like, Thomas is moving to left tackle. Those other guys have already been there.
Yes. But I'll say Thomas, Nauta, Fromm.
Nauta, we don't even throw to him.
It's all right. Blankenship, Ledbetter, Walker, Baker.
Okay. Our list is pretty similar.
And Swift. I'll go ahead and put Swift on there.
That's a good call. You know what? I'd left Swift off, but I'll go with you there. I also have J.R. Reed on mine.
There you go.
Although I didn't have – I guess I should put Andrew Thomas because we don't have to specifically call him a left tackle, just one of the top five linemen in the SEC.
Yeah.
All right, I'll put him on
there. Or if you're going to go two tackles, two guards, and a center. But, I mean, he's all SEC caliber for sure.
Right.
And the Bama line's going to be loaded.
Yeah, and I got Baker, Walker, Reed, and, yes, of course, Hot Rod. Now that Daniel Carlson is gone from Auburn, Hot Rod now is the – wow, Georgia has the premier kicker in the SEC. Got to find a punter, though. The Dogs –
We got a couple of good walk-ons competing, and that Carmada coming in. I mean, we're not going into this thing blind.
All right.
Yeah.
Because Georgia last year, Georgia's opponent's average starting field position was the third worst in college football behind Stanford and Bama. Georgia was number three. Georgia's opponents averaged having to navigate 73 yards of field.
That makes a good defense all that much better. That's that quote-unquote hidden yardage. I think Nizalek was one of Georgia's five most important players last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a big issue here in the offseason is having to replace what he did a year ago and flipping those fields the way he did. Now, I mean, Blankenship contributed that, too, by all those touchbacks.
Of course. And it helps scoring touchdowns to lead all those kickoffs.
Yeah. We need some knots, though.
Need some
when
knots,
when we are
dog.
Forcing punts and everything. Jeff, all right, finally, we'll wrap up the 5-5 with here. First of all, we need to establish, in the NFL last year, what's the team you would say was the most surprising that did make the playoffs?
Oh, gosh. The Rams?
That's what I think, too.
Yeah.
The Rams. So, what team could be this year's Rams?
The 49ers are who I've said. They closed so hot, though. I don't know if you'd even count them as a surprise. But I like the Niners getting in there.
Let me throw this. This might sound ridiculous. But like the Rams, they'll have a second-year quarterback, and they made a change at head coach where they got rid of one of those old dinosaur coaches and are bringing in a younger offensive-minded guy. What about the Bears?
I just think they're so bad.
Now, you got to believe in Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, they're so bad. It would be a – but
– We thought Goff was awful, though.
I think Trubisky – I liked him better than Goff. I think a team that did make the playoffs that could keep ascending is Tennessee. I like Vrabel getting in there. I think he was a terrific player, and I just predict he'll be a good coach.
I mean, the Jags almost went to the Super Bowl.
No question. I didn't like what I don't think they handled that quarterback deal the right way. I think they got too caught. Well, he had a good last game. We got there with him. I would have not signed him to a 3-year deal.
I wouldn't have either. I mean, I think they're putting too much stock into, you know, 3 good weeks of play by Bortles.
I also think Minnesota overshot on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I guess Minnesota's thinking is, I mean, they're right there.
They've
though.
Got other pieces.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were fine this year with Keenum, but then they got to that NFC Championship game and just got hammered.
Nick Foles, I got a good one for you when we come back.
All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems More Than a System.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.